today, and the Lord strong and mighty is leading you into a new place, and from this day all things in your life are being made new. Now go out with a shout of praise and freedom on your lips.
Felt the Lord just like highlight this verse to me. This comes out of 1 John verse 4, chapter 4, verse 4. It says, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Come on. And I would just say this morning, the other thing that the Lord was highlighting was the word attention. And sometimes when we have stuff that comes up in our life, that it gets our attention. And so what we become aware of something that is a problem or something, it becomes a focal point for us. When the reality is that something totally different is actually more true. Let me lay that out. How many of you have ever flown in an airplane before? Raise your hand if you've flown in an airplane. Has anybody ever left out of like an airport that's just covered in fog or some kind of storm and been delayed? Yeah, you feel delayed. Nobody likes to be delayed. But what's the reality is that, hey, you may have a cloud or a circumstance or a thing that would bring delay, but when you get above the clouds, it's sunny and smooth. That's the truth. And that's what a circumstance or an obstacle or a giant looks like in our lives. It gains our attention, but actually something is more true than that. And it is the goodness of God. It is your Father. It is your circumstance will not overcome you. It may feel like it, but it will not overcome you. So this morning, I just want to press into that as overcomers. Dear children, you are overcomers. I love that word. You are overcomers. So let's do this together. If there's a circumstance, if there's a storm, if there's a giant that you need to slay, let's just do it. Let's take the first step out of the boat this morning. And it's really easy. I love this. All you have to do is take the first step, okay? So let's do this together. I want you to just picture for a moment that thing that is delaying you, that thing that is in your way. And I want you to speak to it. And I want you to say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Come on, let's just give him thanks. He's a good father. He is a good father. I know it's crazy. In a building, you can say a scripture verse and breakthrough can happen. You have to know this is possible. I know it seems simple, but this is the kingdom. When you open your mouth, you begin to release authority and breakthrough in your own lives, in the lives of people around you. And we are so thankful for that. And so can we bless the worship team? Thank you so much for taking us in the presence. So good. Oh my goodness. So good. Okay. So a couple things. Stay in a spirit of worship. The announcements, any of the announcements that we have, we can continue to worship. Don't transition. Can we do announcements in the glory this morning? We can have fun at church, right? Come on. Before I mention a couple of things, I'd love to bring the kids up. Can we have all the kiddos, Kingdom Kids, Tiny Tots, can you come up? And we're going to release you guys into worship. Oh, I'm sorry. I did not say that right. The Sounders and Little Vibes. Sounders and Little Vibes. My bad. I'm still working on stuff.
Sixth grade and under.
Okay, come on up. Sounders and Little Vibes. Come on. Look at these revivalists right here. Come on. All right, why don't you extend a handout as we release them this morning? Jesus, get them really, really good. Father, thank you for the teachers. Thank you, Lord, for their hearts to serve. Lord, we bless them. We thank you there's no junior Holy Spirit. And we thank you that they release the kingdom in ridiculously powerful ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome.
Okay, guys. Have fun.
Awesome. Okay. I said different names. We got all kinds of stuff going. We're all learning new habits. This is good. A couple of things I wanted to highlight to you this morning about the... we have some announcements. We're transitioning a little bit. As Jeff already mentioned, we have some details that we're going to point out this morning just because we want to emphasize that there's stuff that's going on out there, and we don't want you to miss that stuff. So just real quick, there's a cinnamon roll sign up for Young Lives. Thanks. And so if you need to make contact with someone, Gwen, who's in their sound booth up there, is the woman to see. She will get you hooked up. The other one is Family Promise. So if you're interested in signing up for Family Promise, that's also a sign up that's available in the foyer, okay? And then the other thing I'd like to just point out, and Jeff kind of touched on it, is our newsletter. So if you want to get information about what's going on here, that's a great way to do it. You go to our website, and then you can sign up for our newsletter. And the other thing I'd mention is that this week, the calendar is coming. Raise your hand if you're administrational. You just love details. Yes, the calendar is coming. This is for you. You're going to be able to see all the dates and good stuff that's out there. And so it's exciting, exciting stuff. So get connected with that. And then also, I just want to throw out a little plug for Awaken the Dawn. I should have this up here. That would probably be better. Okay. So last week, I just shared briefly about Awaken the Dawn. It's a movement that's happening across the United States. It starts October 17th. It goes to October 19th. We are actually having a site here at Echo Hills. It's actually going to be over on the Ed Wing. So we're going to have a tent or a sukkah that's set up. And the reason we're doing that is because the abiding presence of the Lord over the Feast of Tabernacles, he comes to dwell with us. It's an exciting time. So not only is prayer like this going on, tens of thousands of Christians are partnering together in this period of time to pray and to worship and declare the gospel, but this is also a really cool celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles when God comes and dwells with us. And I was setting it up yesterday with my son, and I was like, hey, do you realize that this was like, they've been doing this for a lot of years. And I tried to Google how many years they've done the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a very long time. It's a long time. So it is an incredible celebration that if you've not had the opportunity to partner with and be involved with, this is a great way to get plugged in with that. So also, we have a sign up, and I'm just going to pass this out here. I would pass up multiple signups, but if I do that and you guys signed up for the same ones, we would end up having multiple people signing up for the same slot. So here's how this works. I'm going to pass out three sheets, and on these sheets are times and schedules. We've got probably half of our shifts that are covered. They're one-hour sets. One-hour sets where you can pray, worship, dance, paint. Whatever it is an expression of love to the Lord, okay? You'd come here for your one-hour time slot, and then someone will come in behind you and relieve you of duty. Now, if you are just in the glory, which we expect, you can camp out and stay in the presence. That's awesome. But what you're doing is you're signing up to cover 1 hour. Does that make sense? Cool, we got some nods. Awesome, great. So I'm going to go ahead and pass this out this morning. If you are interested in signing up for an hour, this would be a great opportunity to do that. Additionally, Andy and myself are available. If you have any questions after service, just get a hold of us, and we're happy to kind of give you the scoop. So I'm going to pass this out, and then we'll do some offerings. So if we can get that up there as well, that'd be great. All right. Ooh, that's a good slide. Okay, so make your checks payable to Echo Hills Church. Come on. I love that. That's the first time I've seen that. That's so good. All right, so we're going to declare over offering this morning because the Lord is adamant about financial breakthrough and prosperity in your life. It's not a prosperity gospel. It is that you are his son and his daughter, and in you he's well pleased, and he wants you to be a blessing to the earth. Do you believe it? Come on. So we declare this together, and I want you to know you're not safe from financial blessing when you declare this out. We've heard so many amazing testimonies that I just want you to know that you're not safe. So as you declare this out, just be prepared. You can share testimonies with Jeff or Mike or I. We would love to be able to share those. But just know, when we're declaring this out, we expect something to happen, okay? So as we receive today's offering, we are believing the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Go ahead, ushers. Go ahead. Awesome. Yeah, so the ushers are going to go ahead and pass out the trays. With that, I have the great joy this morning of introducing Pastor Mike. He is bringing the word this morning, so can we bless him as he comes up to share the word this morning? Come on.
Thank you, my brother.
Love you too, man.
As you're giving your offering, I received a text on Friday from... Thanks. From a man in our church who was moving a dresser, and as he moved it to his house, he had forgot he had put almost $900 in that dresser. And so, you know that finding money thing?
Yeah.
He found $897 to be exact. So, listen, let's give testimony and say thank you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks. Welcome, Echo Hills Church. Glad to see you this morning. And this morning I'm going to share with you... one is as an invitation, or they're both an invitation, to transformation. I have been in vocational ministry for over 30 years, and I can honestly say to you that in the last, five plus years, I have seen some of the most transformational work of God in my life in these last number of years. One is through, they're all tied together, but one is I went to this event called LIVE. And in this thing, in this LIVE, I discovered my purpose, my calling. I know exactly the grace that God has given my life, and I know what to give the rest of my life to. And it was discovered through LIVE. We are offering that to Echo Hills Church on a weekend. It's the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of November. We're offering these experiences where we take a Friday night, a Saturday, and a Sunday, and you will walk away with an understanding, a greater understanding, and a launching point of, I know what God's called me to do in life. And I know now steps to take to actually get there. I can say in all honesty, looking you right in the eye, that part of my willingness to do what we're doing with Pastor Jeff, with Hope and Valley, which used to be our church, directly came from understanding my gift and calling. And I recognize something. I recognize that as a pastor, I can only go so far with my gifting. I needed someone else with their gifting to come alongside me so that God's kingdom can be built. So I know what Deb and I do well. I know what we're anointed to do. But I had to discover that. And this experience helped us to do that. The other experiences I've had that has helped me in my journey of transformation is the command of Jesus Christ. And this is what I'm going to talk about for a few moments today. That if I were to be asked 5 to 10 years ago, what is the greatest commandment of love in the Bible? I would tell you this. Here's the greatest command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. How many's ever heard that where Jesus said? Okay, I would say this is what love is about. And I love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, Jesus said all of the Old Testament, the laws and the prophets, hang on these two commands. That for you to fulfill the law, you have to first fulfill love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I realize, though, in context, Jesus is answering a question from the teacher of the law. What is the greatest commandment in the Old Testament? That Jesus was referring to, how do we obey all the laws of the Old Testament? And here's how you do it. You got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we know through biblical history, there was not one major character in the Bible who could actually do that. No one did. There's only one person in the history of the world who was able to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that was Jesus Christ himself. That he fully obeyed his father. He fully served his father. He fully submitted to his father. And then he comes to us and he says, on the night he was betrayed, the night in which he was going to die, the night before he's going to die on the cross, he says to his disciples in John 13, 34, and 35, and if you've heard me speak, you've heard me share a lot about this, but this is revelation is just transforming my life. And Jesus said in John 13, 34, and 35, a new commandment I give you, as I have loved you, love each other. By this, what? As I have loved you, love each other. By this, all men will know you're my disciples if you love one another. Now, Jesus then, after the new commandment, he made a new covenant in his blood. Because when you have a command, you've got to have a covenant. So his covenant was the cup and the bread. The new covenant is the fulfillment of the new commandment. It puts the power of the commandment through the covenant. And I want to propose to you today, just to think about this. The Old Testament says, love the Lord your God. We can't do that. But Jesus said, as I have loved you, in the manner, in the power, in the way in which I have loved you, now you can love each other. And I propose to you today that currently, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, a believer in him, that you are now currently loving other people to the degree you understand God's love for you. Because as we are loved, we love. So what does love look like? 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is patient. How many's ever read that verse or went to a wedding and they read that verse in a wedding? It's more than for a wedding ceremony. It is a description of what love will do and what love won't do. So love is patient. I don't pray for patience. And I've heard people say, don't pray for patience. God will give you a mother-in-law, right? And I love my mother-in-law, so it's a joke. Don't pray for patience. It's not like God is up in heaven going, oh, man, I wish I could give them patience, but they prayed, right? We don't need more patience. We need more love. Because love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not rude. Love does not boast. Love is not self-seeking. See, what we're lacking and what we're needing is not to be more disciplined in our lives to get better. Where we are lacking in patience or kindness, or we become more self-seeking, or we become rude, or we're not kind. It's not that we need to get better in those areas. We need to work harder. That is God's invitation for him to love you more. So that you can love others as you're being loved. So if you're fearful, anxious, and worried, you don't need to go, man, I need more faith. No, you need more love, because it's perfect love that casts out fear, not perfect faith. So Jeff and I have been talking this, we've been having this discussion about, okay, how do we encourage our people to spend time in the Word? And what does it mean to, how do I know I spend enough time in the Word and prayer? How do I know this? And here's one of my indicators. 1 Corinthians 13, 13 says, these three things remain. In essence, these three things are eternal. What are they? Faith, hope, and love. So if I can face life situations and not step out of faith, hope, and love, I know that my connection with God is at a place of health. That if I can be whatever is coming my way, I stay in faith, I stay in hope, I stay in love. I recognize now that no matter what happens out here, whatever comes into my life, if I step out of faith, step out of hope, or step out of love, I know that that's God's invitation saying, you need to spend more time with me so that you face life in faith, hope, and love, because these three are eternal. Everybody okay this morning? I haven't even got to my teaching yet, but it's still pretty good, I think. So this is what's transformed my life. It's love. And just as in the Old Testament, you cannot fulfill the law or the prophets without fulfilling that one commandment out of Deuteronomy 8. You must love the Lord your God. We cannot fulfill the other commandments of the New Testament without the foundation of God's love for us. And then his love for us being expressed in love for each other. So if you will, go with me in the next few moments. I got basically just one point. John chapter 15 verses 9 through, and we probably won't go to 14. I don't think we have time for 17. But if you'll read with me, John chapter 15, Jesus, this is the last words he's telling his disciples before his earthly ministry is over. It's the last, it's like his, you know, what does a person say right before they die are those important words that need to be spoken. These need to be shared. And Jesus is giving his disciples these last words, this impactful words. And we're going to, just for time, verse 9, we're going to start at verse 9 of John chapter 15. When you're there, say, I'm there. If it's on the screen, say, it's on the screen. That's not on the screen yet. Okay, good. Here we go. Verse 9, reading out the NIV. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. Well, how do we do that? If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. Verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. There's a few words that we need to kind of connect with. And this verse, chapter 13, has bothered me my whole life because I haven't got this verse until just quite recently. In fact, last month, I finally got this verse. But let's start with this. Jesus says in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. So in the same manner, the same ferocity, the same intensity of the Father loved me, I loved you. So if you want to know what love looks like, look at the life of Jesus. How did he treat people? And you'll see how love is to be lived out. So as I have loved you, now remain in my love. The word remain is important because that word means to abide, to stay in a certain place. It means to dwell. In essence, here's what it means. Now make my love your home. That God wants his people to be so secure in his love that you're never outside of home. That home is where love, where you live in. It's his love. Now remain in my love. How do we remain in his love? Where love is our home, where love becomes our dwelling place. How do we do that? Jesus says this, if, and that word also can be translated when. So when you obey me. Now, this word obey has always made me kind of push against obedience because I was raised in the 60s where you kind of challenge authority, you kind of push against the man, and you don't just, no one can tell me what to do. But this word obey doesn't mean that God wants us to mindlessly do what he says because he's God and we're not. This word obedience is huge because here's what the word obey means. Now catch this. It means this. It means to guard from loss by never letting it out of your sight. If you're a parent, oh, did someone say it again? Okay, thank you. It means to guard from loss by never letting it out of your sight. If you're a parent, if you've ever been a parent with a small child, you get this verse, you get this word. Because I tell you how many times you go to a park with some friends and you finally have an adult conversation, mom, and your kids are playing over here and you're talking to your adult friend over here. And as you're talking to them, you're saying, hey, how you doing? And your eyes always go back to the child. You can be having a conversation here and both understand we're talking, but we're never letting this child out of our sight. Why? Because that child has such value to you that you will never stop keeping your eyes on that child. I don't know if you've ever gone through the fear or the terror of losing a child. Deb was shopping, I think, at Mervyn's. I want to make sure I get the story right. And Josh, our son, was just a young lad. And Deb, who is a great parent, was shopping, turns, and Joshua's not there. So you have never seen my wife as a mama bear until something like that happens. So she talks to the manager and says, I'm missing my son. And the manager's doing stuff like this. Oh, calm down. We'll find him. It'll be okay. And she goes, no. You lock the doors. You call security. My son's missing. And she just kind of got up in that lady's grill a little bit because her son was missing. My son, too. And what happened with Josh was that he went in those big round clothes rack, right? He went in and hid inside of that, right? Thinking he's going to be adorable. He comes out with clothes on his arm and says, look, mom, I've been shopping. That's great. Right? That fear, that terror, this is the intensity of Jesus' teaching here. That when we obey, when we keep his command and we never lose sight of it, that's how we make the love of God our home. So if I can paraphrase it this way, when you guard my commands, never letting them out of your sight, you will make love your home just as I've guarded my Father's commands and make his love my home. What is his command? Love each other. We can never lose sight. We can never let it out of our sight that the command of Jesus is as I have loved you, you are to love each other. We can't let that go. We can never just say we're going to put that to a side because it's not a suggestion. It's not an idea. It's not even a theology. It's a command of Jesus to be obeyed. Everybody okay? And in verse 11, Jesus says, now here's some of the bonus of what will happen. If we intentionally never let love each other as I have loved you out of our sight, Jesus said this, here's some of the benefits. I will give you my joy and your joy will be maximized. Now, it doesn't mean we don't go through stuff. It doesn't mean that. It means that no matter what goes in our lives, Jesus said, my joy is going to be in you. No matter what goes on in your life, my joy will be in you. It might not be where you're just happy, 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 but you've got a calm delight. Why? Because the love of God is your home. How do I know the love of God is my home? It's the way in which we love each other. You see, if I go, God, I love you, you're awesome, but I hate his bride, 1 John chapter 4 says I'm a liar. Because I can't love him and hate you. Because his command is not just love God. His command is love each other as I have loved you. Now here in verse 12, these are the specifically 13. This is what kind of flummoxed me for a long time. Last month, I went to a conference with a friend of mine who wrote a great book called Love Revolution. And he unpacked this and I went, I get it now. I see it. And it's underlined. I've studied this, but I didn't see it. And I've been studying this thing on love for years. And verse 12 says, my command is this. Here's this command. Love each other as I have loved you. Verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. I have watched movies. I have seen at funerals where people will literally die for a cause or cause for someone else. And you hear this verse quoted all the time. Greater love than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends. And here's my reality. And I think, well, I know it's your reality too. We have not had to die for one another. And if I can just be totally real with you guys, I love you. I really do. But if someone were to put a gun to my head, that kind of love is only a handful of people. Am I the only one? I know I'm standing up here. Would you agree with that? Like my wife, if it was between me and her, I'm laying it down for her. If it's my kids, my grandkids, I'm laying it down. No problem. But if Billy Bob Joe Fred just comes to the door and says, I'm a Christian, die for me, I'd be like, hey, wait a second. Who's going to take care of my family? And this verse has flummoxed me because we haven't had to die for each other. So what is Jesus saying? Because he calls this the greater love. And it's not to be just in a moment. It's supposed to be every day. How then can we live in a greater love? Go with me to John chapter 13. We're going to see where this word is used. John chapter 13, verse 4. Jesus, just previously, he had brought the disciples in. They're going to have their love feast, Passover lamb. Luke 22 tells us the disciples are fighting over who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And while they're fighting over that, Jesus, and here's our word, Jesus slips aside and he takes off his outer clothing and he lays it aside. Here's our same word as lay down. This word, he lays aside his cloak, picks up a towel and washes his disciples' feet. So this word is tithame. It means not only to lay down something, it means to lay aside something. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, John writes, he says, and this is what love is, that God so loved us that he laid down his son, laid down his life for us. And then he says in verse 16, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. And then in verse 17, he puts a context to it. He doesn't say you need to die for each other. He says, if you've got material possessions and you see a brother in need and you do nothing to help them, how can the love of God be in you? So we've got this verse all of a sudden exploded and it made sense to me. When Jesus said greater love, no one has this kind of greater love than they lay down their life for a friend. We may have to lay down our lives in death, but we can every day lay aside our lives for each other. That we are given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to lay aside what we want so that we can love them as Christ loved us. We have a theology that believes this. The theology is this. Colossians 1, I think it's verse 23, says, one of the mysteries that God revealed to us through Christ is this. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we believe as followers of Christ that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, however you want to phrase it, that God lives within us. Would you say amen to that? That God lives within us as believers. What would happen if we actually treated each other that way? What would happen if we really saw, when we saw each other, we saw Jesus in them? My friend Gaylord, who wrote this book, he tells a story of, he's a task guy. And so he was on his computer and he was getting stuff done, list guy, he's getting stuff done. And his wife calls out and says, Gaylord, I need this suitcase. Can you grab the suitcase for me? And he yells back or responds back, just a minute, I'm in the middle of something. And so she keeps going. She goes, Gaylord, I really need a suitcase. And I think it's in the attic. Could you find it more? Just a minute, I'm really doing something right now. Gaylord, could you? And he goes, fine. And he gets up and he stomps up the stairs and he finds a suitcase and he pulls it down and he delivers a suitcase there. Need anything else? Goes back to his computer and goes, oh, great, now I forgot where I was at. And he had this whisper in his head And he knew it was the Lord. And he said, the Lord said to Gaylord, Gaylord, what if I would have asked you for a suitcase? Would you have acted the same way? And he goes, I would have given you a garment bag. I would have given you, what else do you need? I would have fumbled all over myself. If Jesus were the one that were asking for the suitcase, how would you have responded to Jesus? And you say, come on, Mike, come on, Mike. Well, Matthew chapter 23, Jesus tells this story. And in the story, he says, come righteous, the righteous ones, come into the kingdom I've prepared for you. Come, my Father has prepared this kingdom for you because what? I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was in prison and you visited me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was a stranger, you took me in, and I was unclothed and you clothed me. And the righteous will answer this to Jesus. When did we see you? When did we see this happening? When did this happen? And Jesus says these words to the righteous. He says, and you know it, whenever you've done it to the least of these, my brother, you have done it unto me. When you give a fellow believer a hug, God gets the squeeze. When you say kind words to them, you're just not talking to them. You're speaking the heart of the Father, and the Father's going, you're speaking to me. Why? Because we carry the essence of Jesus, every one of us, in us as believers of Christ. And if we would see each other, not through our faults and our flaws, but if we see each other that person is Jesus, then how we would respond to each other would be so much more of laying aside our lives for you. Because I'm laying aside my life for Jesus. I called a guy yesterday. He came to my mind. He was a employer. He employed me after my wife and I had gone through a difficult time at a church in Turlock, and I just needed a job. We had a mortgage payment. We had three small kids, and I couldn't find a job. And so I heard this guy was hiring in construction, and so he had gone to our church in Turlock, and so I called him up and said, hey, man, I just need a job. And he goes, I'll meet with you. So I sat down with him, and I talk with him, and he goes, okay, Mike, I'll hire you. I said, well, thank you. I go, I'm not very good in construction. In fact, to this day, I don't know how to read a tape measure. It's just kind of embarrassing. My wife, you want to have something built, it's my wife. I can play an instrument, but I can't build anything. You don't. But I said, I'll tell you what, I'll work hard for you. I promise. I'll work hard. And he goes, okay, I'll hire you. He goes, but let me tell you what's going to happen. Because I think all ministers are weak. And before this is over, I'm going to break you. And what that's going to look like is you're going to cuss me out and you're going to quit. Now, I've never had another job interview like that, where the guy's goal was to have me cuss him out and quit, okay? And so I got to have a job. It wasn't the greatest job, but I got bills to pay and I got kids to feed. So I took the job. And in Colossians chapter, I think it's Colossians 1 or Colossians 3, I'm not sure. I think it's Colossians 3. Paul says, whenever you work, work with all your heart, as unto the Lord. It is Christ Jesus you're serving, not men. And I went, that guy's Jesus Christ. Now, he wasn't. You know what I mean? That guy's Jesus Christ. I'm going to work for him as if he were Jesus Christ. Now, he didn't act like Jesus a lot of times. Some of his language wasn't like Jesus, and some of his temper and anger wasn't like Jesus. But I couldn't control that. What I could control is that man. The scripture tells me I am to work for that man as if he was Jesus Christ. And so I worked for him and you know what? He was true to his word. He really was. He did everything to break me. It was awesome. Here's what happened. In this case, here's what happened. I just worked for him. I just worked for him. I worked hard. I took some of the, can I say crappy jobs? He gave me a lot of those, literally. And what I did was this man's Jesus Christ. About 6 months or 5 to 6 months into working, his mom and dad both died of cancer, tragically. And he says, Mike, can we get together to talk? Because I'm struggling right here. I became his pastor at that moment. The reason why I could become his pastor, because instead of allowing him to break me, I served him as if he was Jesus Christ. 1 John 3 says, don't love with word or tongue, but in actions and in deed. No, actions and in truth. You see, dear ones, this isn't the easy road. Especially in a society that doesn't honor well, a society that just is really is critical and judgmental, we are called to be a different type of person. What does that person look like? A person who loves as Jesus loves. If you don't know what that looks like, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because you will discover what love looks like when you look at the life of Jesus. This love is not squishy. It's not a marshmallow. It's not a go ahead and do whatever you want. I just love you. That's not the love that Jesus portrayed, because when he lived in love, did he confront his disciples? Absolutely he did, in love. Did he challenge? Absolutely did, in love. You see, dear ones, this love is not everyone's, everything goes. This love means that we love you enough to speak the truth to you, not because we're angry, but because we love you. And dear ones, God is calling us to lay aside our lives for each other. Where do I start? Start with the people you're in contact with right now. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. My first, that's Jesus Christ when I get up in the morning. My role is to love her as Christ loved the church. Who are your friends? Who are your neighbors? Love them as Christ loved you. What about that person who irritates you? Pray for them. Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 5. He says, what about enemies? The Old Testament says, hate your enemies, love your friends. And Jesus said, I tell you, love your enemies. But then he didn't say, now become best friends with them. He says this, pray for them, bless them, speak well of them. He didn't say you got to go hang out with them. He says, bless them, pray for them, speak well of them. That's what love will do for enemies. And that's what laying aside what we want. Because as we're loved, we love. So are you impatient with anybody? That's God's invitation to receive more of his love. If you're frustrated or fearful, that's God's invitation for love. Everybody okay? I ask that often. So let me finish with this. Hebrews chapter 6. Somebody, Pastor Jeff said it this morning, somebody sitting in your seat, well, then lay aside yourself. Take another seat. Don't get frustrated. They're in my seat. No, they're not. They're just sitting down. I've sat there for 30 years. It doesn't matter. Lay aside your life and sit in another place. Dean is sitting. Where's Dean at? Dean, he laid aside his life. You guys sit. He sits here every morning. And look, the family's sitting here. No, oh, no, we took his chair. No. He lay aside his life for someone else.
There's room, Dean. Come on, Dean.
That's, you see, it might be you make breakfast for your wife in the morning, your husband. Lay aside yourself. It might be they say, dear, can you take out the trash? Think that Jesus Christ just asked you to take out the trash. Would you say to Jesus, I'm watching the football game. Leave me alone. Later. If Jesus Christ were to ask you to take out the trash, how would you respond to him? Sorry about that, but verse 9, and let's be done with this. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. How does God want us to love him? Here. Heaven is God is filled with his love. What does he want to do? He wants to bring his kingdom from heaven to earth. What is that going to look like? It's going to be like look like us loving each other. Mike, what about miracles and healings? Absolutely. Big fan. Love it. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts eagerly. Go after love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. You see, without this, the New Testament doesn't work. It's just knowledge. But I can show you how mature we are in our walk with God by the way in which we love each other. Not how many verses you can memorize. Those are important, but that's not the key. It's how well do we love as he loved us. So if you don't like somebody, that's not a them problem. That's a problem right here. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, I believe Jesus laid aside his life before he laid down his life. Philippians 2, 6 says, roughly, trying to memorize it, and being counted as God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the form of a human being, and then on the nature of a servant. And then after that, after taking on the nature of a servant, he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Before Jesus laid down his life, he laid aside his life. He left heaven where he was, John 1, in the beginning was the Word. He left that and became a human being. He laid aside his what he originally was to become a human being. So before he laid down, he laid aside. You and I can lay aside our lives today. How do we do it? As I have loved you. Love each other. Christianity is not a self-help program. It's not get better at something. I got to improve. Never works for long term. It's always this. I need to be encountering his love. How do I know I'm encountering his love? First, joy. Secondly, I'm treating you the same way Jesus treats me. And if I'm not treating you that way, I need to go back to that relationship with him and say, I need more love. So would you stand with me this morning? Let's activate this. Josh is going to come up in just a moment. Who are you struggling with? That might be a political figure. That might be one of them stinking Democrats or them awful Republicans, and words come out of your mouth that Jesus would never say. Love isn't self-seeking. Is this easy? Absolutely not. But man, it's worth the journey. And it all starts with this. Have you encountered the love of Jesus? I'm not talking about, do you know about him? I'm not talking, have you, you know, the story, you know, he, you know, lived a life, sinless life, and then died and raised from dead. That's the gospel. I love that story. Yay. But that doesn't save you. How do I know that you are a follower of Jesus Christ? By your life. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you will love other people. And if you're struggling with that, that's where you need more. And with your eyes closed and your head bowed for just a moment, then I'm going to ask Josh to come up. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Again, I'm not talking about church attendance. I'm not talking about your family knowing. I'm not talking about that. Can you say without a doubt that love is your home? That the Father's love is your home? That you know that without a doubt? And it's more than just I said a prayer one time. That the evidence of that prayer is found in the way in which I treat other people. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, today is your day. Because he's saying, I've loved you and reconciled myself to you even before you say yes to me. Would you this morning be willing to say yes to Jesus? And if so, I just want to identify so we can pray for you. Never to embarrass, but to pray, to celebrate with you the call, the choice. So if that's you, would you just simply slip up a hand? And we want to say yes and amen to you and bless you with that. Anybody? Okay. Thank you. Now, everybody look right here. What you learned today, you get to put into practice. I've been doing this for years now, and I'm still needing more love because I'm not always patient. I'm not always kind. But I've stopped condemning myself, saying, get better, Richardson. And I've started moving to, God, that's your invitation for love. And I tell you what, the love I have now, the transformational love that he's given me now, has always been expressed here. So how many will say, Mike? And if you don't raise your hand, you're in denial. I need more love. Right? You're in denial. Come on. Josh, come on up and let's close this thing down.